The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to WVUD's Campus Voices, weekly conversations with interesting members of the university community, visitors to campus, and others engaged in thought-provoking research and community service. Stay tuned for Campus Voices on WVUD.
Well, hi, I'm Richard Gordon.
And I'm Rachel Silva.
And we are at a rehearsal for the upcoming UD Opera Theater performance of
Così fan tutte,
which will be held on Friday, May 12th at 8 p.m. And
Sunday at 3.
That's Sunday, May 14th.
I hope everyone will be able to watch this wonderful opera and have as much fun as we did with the interviews here at the Roselle Center.
Well, Rachel and I have wandered into the back where we find the director of the UD Opera Theater with a saw out. Blake, why don't you tell us what the heck are you up to?
Well, I'm actually doing some loading dock joinery with a Japanese double-sided saw and some really, really not flush 2x2x8s. We are forming, you've already seen some of the joints there, we're putting together the walls that will be the back wall of a restaurant and the interior wall of a beauty shop in Act One.
Because your director is busy sawing, one of you guys want to tell us what opera y'all are getting ready to do?
My name is Julia McBride. I am a stage manager for the opera, and the opera we are producing is Così fan tutte.
One of Mozart's situation comedies.
Yes.
Hi, I'm David Leibowitz. I'm the conductor for this production at University of Delaware's Opera Theater for Così fan tutte. I'm the music director of the New York Repertory Orchestra in New York City, and I'm happy to be down here.
Which of the Mozart operas is your favorite to conduct?
They're all really special in many different ways. I mean, Così is a favorite of mine, and Don Giovanni as well. They all have their own special characteristics, you know, between humor and tragedy and high drama. But what they all share, of course, is that they're very dramatic. And I mean that immediate for an audience to understand. The stories are always about people and what people are going through. They're not highfalutin subjects, which was the case in opera sort of before Mozart got there. They were about kings and queens and gods and goddesses, and these are about real people. And that's one of the first times in opera that characters were real people, and Mozart really feels that, and the characters come across as relevant to any audience any time.
Così fan tutte ends up being sort of this farce with two soldiers and two young ladies. Like you said, they're just regular people.
They are. Each one is different. You know, one of the questions I put to the cast earlier is, why are there two couples? Each one of them, each boy has a girlfriend, and each girl has a boyfriend. So why are there two? And I think Mozart's showing how the different couples react differently when the boyfriends try and fool their girlfriends into they try and steal each other's girlfriend by masquerading as someone else. You know, part of it is seeing how quickly or not quickly each of the girlfriends comes around to that, or do they, or don't they?
Caitlin Tierney has come up in the world since the last time we spoke with her at WVUD.
It's true, yeah.
You just told us you've just been hired as faculty?
Currently, I teach the honor students who are non-music majors who choose to take voice lessons as electives. So I have several students there. And when I got asked to perform in this production of Così fan tutte, of course, I said, absolutely.
I love that your Italian pronunciation was on point.
So you're singing the role of one of the sisters.
Yes, I'm playing Dorabella.
Dorabella, are you really going to fall for these disguises?
Oh, I don't know. They have pretty tempting mustaches, so it's going to be hard to resist. It's, you know, wait till you see them.
This was written in the late 18th century, but you guys are moving this to the 1950s Brooklyn.
A lot of people believe Mozart to be outdated or find that they're unable to make a connection to stories that were written so long ago, but frankly, these plots are very, very easy to make a connection with for a contemporary setting. You know, people falling in love with someone, falling out of love, you know, falling in love with someone else. That happens at any point in time.
It's okay if we tell everybody. It comes out okay in the end, right?
It does work out okay for everyone in the end. So happy-go-lucky feelings for everybody by the end of the opera. You won't be disappointed.
My name is Shoshana Lieberman. I'm a second-year master's student in vocal performance. My character is named Fiordaligi. She is one of the sisters in the opera who gets fooled by their boyfriends.
And Kara, you sing that role, the other performance?
Yeah, my name's Kara Ferro. I'm a first-year master's student, and I'm singing the same role as Shoshana.
What do you guys do when the other one's on stage? I mean, do you go across the street and get something to eat, or what?
We sit on the side and furiously make sure that we have memorized what they're singing.
Whenever I'm singing and I can't be sure of the words, I look over at Kara and she's mouthing along, practicing.
This has been what struck me over the years, is how supportive the students, both the graduate students and the undergraduates, are of each other.
Yeah, I think Delaware has this weird thing that no other schools have. We're not a conservatory, but it's like we're all together all the time, so I feel like it feels like a conservatory. And if we were all mean to each other, it wouldn't be fun. And doing this should be fun. This is what we're doing for the rest of our lives, and we should be enjoying it. And I love the support that we give each other, singing the same roles as us, not singing the same roles as us, the chorus. And I've done it all, so everything's been a blast.
It really feels more like we're Team Fiordaligi and not two competing sopranos singing Fiordaligi.
What are you going to do when you graduate? I mean, this is your second year in the master's program.
Well, I'm teaching. I teach private voice lessons, and I also teach violin and viola. That's actually how I got into opera. I was in an orchestra, and we played Così fan tutte.
That's right. You were in the pit playing viola for one of these opera theater productions recently.
Yes, last year I was in the pit for Werther.
And Carrie, last spring...
Yeah, I assistant directed Werther. I just like to be a part of it, even when I don't get to sing.
What is different about playing a stringed instrument and singing? I mean, the stringed instruments, and particularly like the cello and the viola, are very much like a human voice, a lot of people say.
They really are, and I think being a violist has helped my singing, and being a singer has helped my viola playing. I do like the personalness of singing. It's you. There is no blaming your instrument. There is nowhere to hide. It's just you singing, and it's beautiful.
My name is Travis Lucas. I am a second year master's student, concentrating in vocal performance, and I will be singing the role of Don Alfonso.
So you get to play the role of the dirty old man who sets this whole farce going.
Yeah, he's definitely an instigator, to say the least. It's actually been quite fun to really kind of delve into this kind of role because it's so extensive, especially with all the recitative that he has. He has the most out of anybody in the show. I mean, and everyone has a substantial amount. And it's fun to kind of interact with Despina, who's also kind of an instigator for the women, at least. And working with all these other younger singers and really diving into my first full Mozart role, which I'm really excited about.
You told me before we started recording that you're going to be auditioning for Don Giovanni?
Actually, I have been cast in Utah Vocal Arts Academy's production of Don Giovanni as Don Giovanni, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. I get staging opportunities, acting opportunities, and I get to perform the role at least twice while I'm there, so I'm pretty pumped.
Now, this is your second year as a master's candidate here, and you were telling me that you have a goal.
This past fall, I've been auditioning for around 15, 16 resident artist programs for opera companies all over the country. And my goal is to get into one of these programs. I'd be in residency there for about 8 months, doing a lot of outreach programs for elementary school kids, having the opportunities to cover main stage roles for their main stage productions, as well as work with world-renowned musicians, conductors, singers. But that's the ultimate goal, and just singing as much as I can and learning as much as I can. And UD's definitely helped me along with that.
You also said you wanted to open your own vocal studio.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I definitely have always been interested in teaching kids who are as passionate about music as I am and kind of getting them prepared for this ever-changing world of classical music. And hopefully I can pass on what I've learned personally, not only, you know, in graduate school, but also my previous experiences in high school and undergrad. And just to see growth in young musicians is such a special thing. And I think a lot of people don't fully understand how important it is to keep music alive and keep the arts alive. And we are the future, and we definitely need to keep it going. And I'm hoping I can achieve that.
Backstage here at rehearsal, we found the two tricksters looking at the score together. Who do we have here?
My name is Benjamin Dutton, playing the role of Guglielmo.
And my name is Hunter Torgler, and I am playing the role of Ferrando.
You guys are having fun with this, aren't you?
Blast.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's awesome.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
People think of Mozart, and they think of powdered wigs and all sorts of funky 18th century dress, but this particular performance is going to be different.
You know, I think actually Mozart specifically, but a lot of opera is now notorious for these sort of redoing types of things, where they sort of take the story, which is powerful because it's somewhat universal, mm-hmm. and then they add new aspects and new costumes and all these kinds of things. So yeah, we're setting the story about, I guess, 60 years back, 50 years back?
Yeah, just to make it, again, like, relatable to, I guess, nowadays audience. Because again, like, this message is something, I guess, universal, like you said, that we can all, like, relate to. So yeah, it's kind of.
So you guys are going to be singing against a backdrop of, like, 1950s Brooklyn. So do you still disguise yourselves as Albanians?
No, we're not. Even though we use the word Albanians, right? In the, like, at one point we still refer to ourselves as Albanians, like in the Act One finale. We're, I don't know, what are we essentially? We're like.
Yeah, I don't think we're supposed to be of a different race anymore. We're sort of maybe gang members we're
sort
alluding
of.
To,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something
yeah.
along those lines.
I think
lines.
There's like gold chains involved. Or
yeah,
like
we
that.
Admittedly have not seen the costumes yet.
Yeah.
But we know that. Yeah, we're. I believe the idea is that we're. A lower class than our genuine
Former
counterparts.
Yeah.
So instead of being more upstanding citizens, we are, yeah, maybe gang members along those lines.
So we're talking to you on Monday night. This will be airing on Thursday morning. And the show starts on Friday. And you guys haven't seen the costumes yet?
It's true.
Yeah.
yeah. We have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be. We know we're wearing leather jackets. And having the sort of like jeans, leather jackets, white T-shirt kind of thing.
Sure. Simplicity as, route. We're going
right.
Yeah,
for Ferrando and Guglielmo. And then when we are our quasi-Albanian counterparts, we'll have added. Actually, that is one thing that I did see was the, I don't even know how to describe them. They're like open, short-sleeved, very obnoxious button-downs that we'll be wearing.
Oh, really?
We're going to have, yeah, I believe we're going to have fake mustaches on strings. That we'll have around
our
heads.
Get out of here. Yeah. Oh, gosh, this is great.
So it'll be pretty over the top. And so we have an idea of what it's going to look like, but we haven't seen the actual props yet.
Well, you can hear the chemistry between these guys. It's going to be a fun show this weekend.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah,
it's going to be a blast.
Thanks.
Yep. Great, thank you.
Oh! Hi, my name is Nicole Boyson. I am a pre-remedial grad student here at UD. I am playing Adora Bella, who is Vera Deligi's sister. Shoshana Lieberman is my Vera Deligi in this show.
What would you say is probably the most difficult part about playing Adora Bella?
Well, Adora Bella is very passionate in everything she does. It goes to the point of excess. So when she's upset, she's livid. She's on the floor rolling. When she is sad, she is also on the floor rolling, but there's more tears. When she's happy, she's just bouncing off the walls. So just basically having enough energy to really commit to those, the intensity of her emotions and passions.
And how do you think Adora Bella is different from her sister?
Adora Bella is very hot-headed. She is the younger of the two. She's very tempestuous, whereas Fior Deligi is more calm, more collected. In the face of temptation, she is the one who holds out longest. She's the more loyal one, of course, as well. So she's basically everything a big sister should be.
Okay, and how does it feel to be in an opera?
Exciting and nerve-wracking, because I've done theater before. I have a bachelor's in theater, so I've been on the stage for quite a few years, but I've never experienced a role that I've been performing in an entirely different language that I don't even speak. So it's new, and I enjoy the challenge, so it's really exciting.
And has Italian been good to you so far, or?
Well, actually, yes, it has been. I kind of tend to pick up the rhythm of languages fairly easily, and Italian is definitely one I feel much more comfortable with, whereas French is just, I have no idea. So in order to prepare for the role, I find myself speaking the recit as well as the lines within the sextets, the ensembles, and the arias. The trick to Italian is really just elongating the vowels and just finding the ups and downs of the language itself.
And do you feel like you've gotten a lot of support from your cast members?
Completely, through and through, absolutely 100%, which I am so grateful for. Everybody is very close. We can joke around. There's no animosity, no tension, no like chitter chatter behind backs. So it's been a really great, wonderful experience.
Kim Albanowski. So I am a sophomore music BA and cognitive science double major. This is my fifth UDOT opera that I'm supervising stage manager for. So kind of like the puzzle piecing part, which is like when we get here, it's all kind of like making it together and like putting it all on stage together.
And how do you really apply music and cognitive science?
I just did a lot of research in music as a neurorehabilitative device for Parkinson's and aphasia. So I don't want to do music education or music performance. My focus wants to be on how you can use music in the healthcare system and how you can use music to really cure and treat different diseases and conditions that a lot of people suffer from, like such as aphasia, which happens usually after someone has a stroke. When their speech is slurred or when their speech isn't pronounced correctly, it's called non-fluent aphasia. And so that's mostly what my research was on. It's Broca's aphasia. So using music in that sense and how to treat and allow them to communicate properly is mostly what I want to focus on. For grad school, I'm probably going to either master or get my doctorate out of college in either music therapy or music cognition, which music cognition is like the research more so behind music therapy. Music therapy is more so the act of treating and working with patients, but I want to do the research behind that and do all the case studies and individual treatments for different conditions and stuff.
And were you involved in like theater or anything in high school, and that's why, you know, you were interested in this?
I was an international thespian officer in high school and a state thespian officer for Pennsylvania. My whole high school and middle school career was mostly involved in theater, but I realized in ninth grade that I hated being on stage. So I turned more towards assistant directing, directing, and stage managing for my high school, which I kind of, it was me and my director, and we kind of ran everything until I graduated. But so my background is more so in stage managing.
My name is Ethan Yudovich, and I'm singing Ferrando in Così fan tutte.
So you're one of the guys who thinks just sticking a mustache on is enough of a disguise. Hey, I'm an Albanian.
Well, I don't think it's that simple. I mean, a mustache is certainly a big part of it. There are many other, you know, elaborate things that go into wooing Fiordaligi and Dorabella. Like, there's one ruse where they pretend to take arsenic and draw the pity of the girls towards them and stuff like that. I know, because we're set in the 1950s Brooklyn, we're also doing kind of like a leather jacket with wife beater kind of thing, kind of like slightly, I guess, like, I don't know, trashy version of Così fan tutte.
Now, wait a minute. This is Mozart, and you guys are going to be in Brooklyn?
I think the great thing about Mozart operas is it's such a universally known, I guess, style that it's, you can very much reinterpret things like setting and time period and whatnot, and it's done all the time. So I think it makes the art form more relatable to switch up a setting or a time period every once in a while. De Ponte's text is in Italian, but again, it's something we all can relate to. We all can relate to, you know, being in a situation where we think everything is great, but maybe it doesn't work out as well with the person that we love. Maybe we have to make a second thought about something that we thought before.
In the 19th century, this opera was judged to be too racy to perform.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, I know the idea that these guys are swapping lovers wasn't actually pleasing to the emperor, so De Ponte was actually sacked after this opera was written. And he didn't approve of it at all, and he didn't think it was a suitable subject for, like, a court opera.
If we think about it, this is sort of the 18th century version of a sitcom.
I would absolutely agree. I mean, you have some characters that are, you know, emotionally they're very stereotypical. They're relatable, but also predictable. And, I mean, romantic comedies, I feel like it's something that's been around for so long, and opera certainly has its share of that, and Cozy is definitely one of them.
I think the last time we talked, you were singing that very serious role of Judge Danforth in The Crucible. You have more fun with this one?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot more that you can, you know, you don't have to be as tense all the time because the subject matter isn't serious. And I think also with comedy, you have more freedom in terms of, like, am I just going to try and do an action or something here that can add to the comedy? And there's more room, I guess, to insert your own humor into it.
Thank you, Ethan.
My name is Sophia DeLeo. I'm a freshman music education major, choral general. This is my second UD Opera Theater opera, and it's my first time assistant directing, and in high school I always, like, performed and was on stage, and this is my first time really doing things backstage and experiencing what it's like from behind the scenes, and there's so much work that goes into it, and it's really incredible.
In high school, was classical your forte, or were you doing show tunes, or what?
Classical was never my forte. I actually didn't take voice lessons until I got to school, and I always sang musical theater, so my voice teacher actually recommended that I get involved with the opera because I sang classical and fell in love with it so quickly. So eventually I hope to be on the stage, but for now, it's been really great to work with Dr. Smith and everybody backstage and on stage.
What's been your biggest challenge as a freshman, as an assistant director?
Definitely knowing that you are a freshman, you are younger than people, and maybe giving them notes or telling them what to do. Being in an authority position when you're younger than someone, especially for the grad students, to tell them, you know, you did the blocking wrong, or this line was wrong. It's kind of hard at first to get used to that position, but then after a certain point, you're all on a mutual level of understanding and respect, and they've really done a great job of including us and making us feel welcome here, so I really appreciate it.
You better get back to work, because I don't think Dr. Smith has done sawing wood yet.
Good idea.
Blake Smith, the director, has come in from the loading dock. He's put down his carpentry tools. Now he's in the green room with us.
Hi, Richard.
Who came up with the idea of moving Mozart to 1950s Brooklyn?
Well, you know, not surprisingly, probably, that was my fault. I'm kind of a fan of theatrical deconstruction for some really good reasons and some less sexy reasons. The good ones being that, you know, our audience is largely college students and younger people and people who are seeing an opera for the first time. And modernizing elements of the content which are not particularly necessary to be set in the original time period. A piece like this, with some dumb guys and some sweet but maybe a little bit gullible girls and an old guy who thinks he pretty much has everybody figured out, that's something that's pretty universal. So it kind of works in any time period that we want to choose. And the less sexy reason for deconstructing, frankly, is that it's a lot cheaper. You know, you can use costumes that are a little more... You can use costumes which are more immediate and things that people already have in their possession and things that you don't have to rent big, fancy, expensive 17th or 18th century, you know, French costumes for. The reason that we set it to this particular time period is because there is a certain amount of machismo that comes in the young soldiers that is not at all sort of unlike what you would see in the 1950s sort of happy days, early 60s kind of idea. Young sort of, you know, masculine guys, you know, talking about their nice, virtuous girlfriends. And part of the reason we actually like this is that there is, of course, in the work, there is a fake battle to which the guys are called off to. And it was sort of convenient to use the draft as a nice cover for the guys being called off with very little warning. So basically, instead of the guys being called off to some amorphous war, the guys will show up in the first act with their little yellow draft card saying, guess what? It came in the mail. I gotta go now. So it was kind of a nice cover for that. So it was one small sort of practical connection there. But the nature of the guys as being super macho and the girls being a little bit dramatic but also really sweet and kind, it kind of lent itself to sort of a Park Slope, you know, 1950s, 1960s sort of Brooklyn era. So yeah, there'll be some really nice images of that, and there's a great, great panorama of New York City and from across the river in the final scene at the wedding. So it's a nice, there's a lot of really nice things that I think will be very easily relatable to people.
What is it like working with a variety of different students?
Well, that's actually kind of the best part of this, is that having done a lot of professional singing myself, one of the things that you realize is that whenever people are at a certain point in their life, when it's not really new, when it's not really exciting, when it's not really mystical, when it's your job, it really changes the kind of atmosphere and the kind of energy that exists between a cast. There is just a level of wonder that's present in dealing with college students, even some of the older ones. I mean, there are kids who are juniors and seniors and even grad students who've never had a chance to do something this substantive before. There are young kids who are coming out of high school taking massive chances. So it's a really special and unique thing. There's nothing like the energy and the excitement and the wonder, the real discovery that comes with working with young people.
So can you tell us when this wonderful opera will be available for the student body and anyone interested to watch?
The opera goes up this Friday, May 12th at 8 p.m. and Sunday on Mother's Day at 3 p.m. Bring your mom. Mom will thank you for it. It'll be the funniest thing mom sees all day. The piece will have an intermission in between each one. It'll be performed in Italian with English supertitles. And it'll be the best thing you can do in Newark this weekend.
Thanks for listening to Campus Voices. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and do not necessarily reflect the official views of WVUD or the University of Delaware. For more information about Campus Voices and to find archived episodes, visit our website, www.udel.edu/campusvoices. We invite you to tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 for Campus Voices on 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1, Newark, or online at WVUD.org.